Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass, episode 29. I am Matthew Nickel, and joining me today is senior and three-sport athlete Bill Uni. So, Bill, thanks for joining me here today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we were supposed to kick it off earlier this week and had some technical troubles on my end. So thank you for kind of squeezing me in here before you head up to Milwaukee and play some volleyball here in just a couple of hours. So, well, hey, you know, I have to share a quick story about how kind of your name came up for the interview. I, you know, had previously interviewed, you know, John Bolton for NBA 2K from the esports, you know, program. And there was a comment on the interview around, you should interview Bill Uni from the Smash team. He plays football, volleyball, and is one of the best Smash players on campus. Really talented guy. So I was like, I saw that and I was like, John, we got to connect with him. So, so first of all, that comment came from Legend Cobra XW2O at YouTube. Any idea who that is?
No.
All right.
I have no idea.
Well, you have an admirer somewhere on YouTube with that name.
Yes.
So, all right, well, I'll continue to figure out who that is. Well, hey, well, let's talk a little bit about Augustana. So obviously you play football, you play volleyball, you're on the esports team. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were starting kind of your college search, were any of these like sports kind of factors in why you came to Augustana, or kind of how did you choose that path to land at Augie?
So, in the recruiting process, I was focusing on football. I had several different schools I was looking through. I was looking for schools that were close by to – I'm in the southwest suburbs of Chicago by Joliet. And you know, Augustana is about 2 hours away. So that was about the golden range I was looking for. Then – eventually narrowed it down that I picked Augustana, and once I got into like the football season, I had the opportunity to talk to the still interested in doing volleyball. Mm-hmm. And I was able to join the team there. Then later, I had a friend who was on the esports team. He played League of Legends, and you know, I told him, you know, I was interested in doing Smash, and, you know, the program was going to be starting varsity athletics the next year. So I decided it'd be a good opportunity to try and join in on that.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of a good transition, because I was curious on how you got involved, you know, with the esports program, you know, here at Augustana. And because I think it was just like a club at a house in like 2019. And then finally, you know, 2021, 2022, something like that, I believe it, you know, was kind of formally recognized, you know, as a program. You know, kind of at the forefront of, you know, the start of the program. I mean, how have you kind of seen the esports program really evolve over your last 4 years?
Well, let's see, I joined my sophomore year, so I've only had 3 years on the team. But my first year, it was just me, my teammate Quimi Dahl, and Ryan Camrazel. So it was just a team of three. We played both singles and crews. I think it was a struggle a little bit to kind of find our place. Because the range of talent in esports is so varied from team to team, it's very difficult to get a sense of what your opponent's going to throw at you.
Yeah. So why'd you pick like Super Smash Bros. Specifically?
I think, you know, I've always been a big fan of Nintendo games. I know the first video game console I got was the Wii. From there, I'd always be playing Smash with my friends. And around at some point, I started watching like esports and tournaments, and I thought it'd be awesome to, you know, try out esports.
Yeah. Are there any other games that you like to play outside of Super Smash Bros, you know, specifically for the esports program, but what else do you like to play kind of in your, you know, in your spare time?
Let's see. In terms of like multiplayer, I'm also usually like playing some Mario Kart. That's Mario Party. That's more just like with friends. Single player, I like to play a lot of like JRPGs, like Persona, Fire Emblem.
Okay.
Games like that.
Nice. Now, how does Super Smash Bros., like the matchups work, like for the season? Like, do you meet opponents on Discord? Do you share gamer tags, add them as friends? Like, how does that actually happen?
So we set up through a site called LeagueOS.
Okay.
And then from there, we have our Discord tags, and we're able to contact like the captain of the team. There's a set time to play, but you can also reschedule. And usually, a lot of times we just end up rescheduling anyways, because it try and get everyone the best possible time for all our teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting when I was talking to John Bolton about the NBA 2K. It's like, you know, they have to like take a picture of the matchup and send that in. Is there something similar you have to do?
Usually we write down like a scorecard or something. Someone's keeping score, and we'll send that in at the end.
Okay. Now is it like, so after I found out, you know, you and I were going to connect, you know, both of my boys have Super Smash Bros, have Switches, and I played it a few times, like when we first got it. Cause anytime I jump on it, I'm usually just playing Mario Kart. A little nostalgia for me. I mean, I grew up with the original, so, So I started playing it, and, you know, I was kind of curious, like, is it like a best of three? Is it like a 1v1? Are there like multiplayer matches? Like, walk me through, you know, the actual, like, once you're in the game, you know, how many times do you, you know, fight each other, and what's the setup kind of look like?
Yep. So for crew battles, it's the NECC has a 4v4 format where The first two opponents will play just a normal game, both at three stocks. Then whoever wins that game, they go into the next game with however many stocks they have left. And the losing team is able to pick the next player and counterpick the character. So okay. It becomes kind of like a counterpick war. And then it keeps playing until one team is left standing, and that's one set. You play best of three.
Okay. And how long, I mean, the best of three, like how long? Is it like about an hour? How long would it roughly last? It's
from like an hour to hour and a half.
Okay. Now, are those matchups streamed anywhere? Because I know occasionally I'll get an alert for, you know, Discord that, you know, Augie Esports is going live for like, you know, League of Legends or something. Do you guys stream those, or are they kind of uploaded anywhere to watch them afterwards? Oh, did I lose you?
Yeah, we're able to get a stream going. We'll have conflicts with other teams that are streaming at the same. But if we have like an open slot, we usually try and stream our games or the other team as well.
Okay. Where can you, do you just watch them on Discord then, or where do you watch those at?
On the Augie Twitch channel for esports.
Okay, nice.
I don't remember the exact handle.
Yeah. Now, do you play your matches at the esports center, or do you do it like in your room in your house?
We play at the Esports Center.
Okay. I noticed there were two teams. There's an Augie Blue and an Augie Gold. How many people are on each team, and kind of who decides, you know, who's blue and who's gold?
So there's six to a team. And remember, crews are four players each. So just two subs. We don't have like a dedicated Smash coach, so I'm basically the captain of the Smash team right now. So okay. I kind of recommend a coach, like who's on blue and who's on gold. I try and at the beginning of like the semester, I try and assess where everyone's at.
Mm-hmm. So how do you assess it just kind of based on like their performance, you know, do you guys like practice against each other and see kind of who has some strengths, who has some weaknesses?
Yeah. As you try and give like some of my players tips on what they're good at. Any advice I can give.
Now, I was talking to both of my sons, Wyatt and Cooper, and they said, "Dad, can you ask them a couple of questions for us?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So these next four are from both of my boys because they play Super Smash Bros. So the first one they wanted to know is, "Who's your preferred character and why?"
Okay. Well, my preferred character is Lucina. It's interesting because when I first started playing the game, it wasn't competitively. I was playing Ganondorf, but Ganondorf is like one of the worst characters in the game. So at some point, I started to start trying out different characters, and Lucina just started to click with me. And I've stuck with her ever since. I think she really fits my playstyle.
When you're choosing a character, is there anything specific you look for?
I think one is their recovery. And also like their neutral. So like, do they have good options just when like out of shield or like good poking moves?
Okay. Now, do you have a favorite stage?
Favorite stage? Probably Battlefield. It's really good for Lucina specifically, because you can kind of combo up off of the platforms. But so, it definitely stage.
No, go ahead.
Stages
go ahead.
Are from character to character. They work better for different characters.
That's what I was going to ask. Some characters and stages. Okay.
It's flat, so it allows more like zoning potential.
Now, when you say like zoning potential, what do you mean by that?
There's some characters that have like projectiles, or they're trying to like keep you out or wall you out. Think like Steve or Snake, like Samus, or even like Min-Min. They all have like a lot of range to them. They want to kind of like keep away.
Got it. Yeah, one of the things when I was playing the other night, again, just trying to like learn a little bit more about the game. You know, one, I thought I was pretty good after a while just playing the computer. And then, you know, my 8 and 10 year old just, you know, beat the crap out.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Of me, you know, once we jump in. But definitely, you know, I was, you know, learning a little bit how the stages move as well. So, you know, you're kind of jumping up, you're jumping over. You know, the stage is always kind of evolving, and that tripped me up a ton. But I think even sometimes, like, the gameplay, you know, I'm so used to, you know, hit Y to jump or hit A to jump, you know, in a game.
Yeah.
Versus this, it's like the controller, the left controller up. So that little change in style it threw me off for probably the first hour. I could start figuring it out. This was Cooper's question, and he's like, Dad, you have to ask, what's his favorite combo?
Probably Nair 1 into F Smash.
I don't know what Lucina. That is, but I'm sure he will with Lucina.
Otherwise, I like doing, I also play a little bit of Kazuya. There's plenty of combos that you can do with him. I'd say some combo into like Electric and Godfist, into like the crumple animation, into Dragon Uppercut.
Okay. What, now, you know, so some of these combos there are a lot of just similarities to like, you know, combination of the joystick and, you know, hitting the buttons. So it's like, I don't know, left, right, up, A, B, or I'm just going to say that does, you know, that's an action item with your joystick, with your controller. But the combo is different, obviously, for each player. So is it really just learning the joystick controls and then understanding what the move is? Is that kind of how you figure some of that stuff out?
I think it's more understanding the moves. Because when I'm playing the game, I'm thinking about the move, not so much the inputs.
Okay.
It becomes kind of like a subconscious thing that I just think, okay, let me do this move, and my fingers will do that input.
Got it. How many moves does like a general character in Super Smash have? Do you have any idea?
Let's see. So you have four aerials. You have five like tilts. Well, four tilts plus a jab to get five more. You have four specials. A grab. You have shield. You have spot dodge, air dodge, roll. There's also taunts, though those are rarely used. I think that covers everything. Besides, there's some characters that have like special inputs, kind of like fighting game inputs, where the motion of the stick determines the move. So got instead it. Of like, yeah, general characters, it's just press stick in a direction, press the A. For like, say you're playing Ryu, you're going to do the dragon input where you do forward, down, down, forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then press A. And he does a shoryuken.
That you mentioned Ryu, and I was like, one of the things I think is pretty cool, like what Nintendo has done, you know, in a lot of their games is they've integrated a lot of other characters from past consoles and past games, like, you know, Ryu from Street Fighter. You know, so some of that stuff is pretty cool. Like I like to play with him. I was playing a little bit with Mario. I mean, I have no idea what any of the names are outside of, you know, specifically knowing how they relate to, you know, the original console or maybe Super NES or something. So, now when you're playing, are there like strategies that you try to execute, you know, when you're in the middle of a game, or is there anything in particular, like, you know, you like to stick to certain aerials, or is it a little bit depending on the stage? Like, how do you think about just strategies, each time you're playing?
First, it kind of depends on the character matchup. What does my character excel at? What can I use to my advantage? I might opt to use those moves more. And during the game, I have to kind of continually like adjust my game plan to what my opponent's doing. If they're being aggressive, I might shield more. If they're playing more passive and shielding, I might have to go for a grab or send.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you practice regularly, or what does that look like kind of during the week?
Let's see. So we have one, and I've tried to implement like at least once a week. Everyone has like a practice partner that they get one-on-one practice with. They're trying to see improvement from week to week. It's just one thing they can get better at, whether it's a combo or like their neutral edge guarding, some aspect of the game.
Okay. So your gamer tag, Flaming87. Are you still there? Or did I lose you? Did I lose you there, Bill? Oh, there we go.
All right.
Lost you there for a second. No worries. I was going to move on to the gamer tag. So, And I'll come back and try and edit some of this stuff out. The gamer tag is Flaming 87. So
yes.
What's the story behind Flaming 87?
So that was kind of like a childhood username that I kind of kept. The idea, at least, because I, as I mentioned, I played a lot of Mario Kart Wii. I imagined like doing like a mini turbo, and that's like the flames coming off the wheels, like the flaming part. And then 87, it was my high school football number. So I kind of combined the two, and that's why I stuck with Flaming 87.
I like it. I like it. It's always interesting how you kind of run into like certain things, like, you know, gosh, my like Xbox online has been like Manickle 82. Yeah, same thing. MA, my last name, year I was born. So, and it's been that way since whenever Xbox came out. So, I like it. Now, thinking of switching a little bit to more like academics, so, you know, you're majoring in computer science with a minor in Asian studies and in Japanese. That's an interesting combo. So kind of what inspired that that matchup?
Well, for computer science, that's my main one I've always wanted to do since high school. I want to try and go into, like, software development. That's still a broad field, and I think I still have a little bit of time to try and figure that out, what more specific I want to do with that. But at least the Asian studies and Japanese is really more just like a passion for like Japanese culture. I've always, I started watching like anime in Japanese, and at some point I kind of became interested in like the language. And you know, I took a chance. I took a Japanese class, and I ended up loving it. So I stuck with it, and I realized I had enough credits so I could actually just get a minor, and I figured, why not?
Yeah. Now, would you say Japanese or English, as you've learned, you know, how Japanese is structured, which language do you think is maybe more difficult?
I think English is probably still more difficult to learn from, you know, an outside perspective. But I know Japanese is still up there. But I think there's a lot of things with Japanese that make a lot of sense. I think one of them, like, it's easy to, like, pronounce a lot of words because you can just look at the like hiragana of the word, and it will always be the same pronunciation.
Got it. Okay.
Whereas, like in English, it could be, you know, how you pronounce it can be different. You know.
Yeah.
Like different letters, a lot of different pronunciations.
This is funny you say that, because what made me think about that is, I've seen on some social media where, you know, it's someone at a whiteboard, it's writing a name, and then they say it, and then they write a similar name, but it's a completely different pronunciation. And I think it just talks a little bit of how, you know, how difficult, you know, English, you know, really can be. So I was always kind of curious to get your perspective on where you thought the two kind of matched up. Now, you know, you've been, obviously you're a 3-sport athlete, football, volleyball, esports. How did you manage to balance all of that with your academics?
Well, for when I'm in football, I'm kind of like excused from all the volleyball lifts and like open gym practices. And similarly, when I'm in volleyball, I'm excused from football lifts. And usually when volleyball ends, I'll miss like the first half of like the spring football practices, and I'm able to join in the rest of them. And then for esports, I'm lucky enough that we were able to like reschedule games to convenient times for me and my teammates. So it makes it easier to fit into my schedule. For academics, you really just have to get on top of your work. You can't get behind. But I think if you kind of stay on top of it, I think you can make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. That's a lot to balance. I'm not envious of your last 4 years. I just did, you know, one sport and one major. So,
yeah, I know in high school, I played football, basketball, and volleyball. So I've always been used to, you know, playing multiple sports. So I wanted to continue that in college.
Yeah. That's hats off to you. That's tremendous. Have you had a chance to complete like any internships this past summer at all, or?
Unfortunately, I have not. I think I've had part of the issue is because that you know, I'm doing three sports, I don't have as much of a time to get like an internship that I would want, or like apply for as many jobs. It's kind of like some of the sacrifice you have to make with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of time to work, so it's like also enjoy college a little bit. And enjoy your summers too, because you're not going to get them back after you graduate, essentially. So, now, have you been over to Japan at all, or do you have any kind of aspirations?
That's like my number one place I want to visit. I'll get there someday, but I have been on a trip with my football team to Austria and Germany, and then I've been on a trip with my volleyball team to the Dominican Republic.
Nice. When did the volleyball team go to the Dominican?
That was December 2022.
Okay. What was it like down there? Did you guys go down there to like compete as well?
We did. We played three games. I think one of them was against like the JV national team of the Dominican.
Okay. How did those games go?
We won one game and lost two.
Okay. Is that kind of like their semi-pro kind of equivalent?
Yeah. A lot of those players eventually go into like the national team. It's all at the same facility.
Okay.
So we actually got to play at the Olympic Stadium.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Now I saw, you know, as well, like in your bio, you know, you 4-time Dean's List, you know, how have you, you know, been able to kind of manage such a high, like academic standard, and kind of where did you get that discipline, you know, from?
Definitely my parents. They always, you know, pushed to have me, you know, get good grades. And, you know, I went to college, you know, I have to now choose for myself, but I decided to, you know, keep with that, keep on top of everything.
Yeah. Now, just really, you know, kind of one last question here, because I know you need to jump on the bus and head up there. You know, thinking about the past 3-4 years, are there any like really standout moments from Augustana that, you know, really kind of stick with you?
Let's see, I have a few. So one, I would say, it's my first year on esports was when we played 3v3 since we only had three players. It was, you know, I started the first game, and I ended up taking all three opponents out without getting knocked out. I think that was one of my favorite moments. Let's see. Another one was our team went to this tournament hosted by St. Ambrose. It's called the Honey Pot. And I think one of my highlights was taking a game off of a top 100 player in the world. I thought it was pretty crazy.
Now, were they an Ambrose student, or was it just like a local tournament?
Well, so St. Ambrose hosts local tournaments, but this one was open like worldwide.
Okay. Anyone can,
obviously, most of the people are just from the States, but there was even some people from Japan there.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was a pretty big tournament.
Now, Augie's hosting one up here in March, right? There's an Augie Ambrose Mississippi or River Duel or something like that.
Yeah.
What is that in March, or when is that coming up?
I'm not sure the day has been set yet. I know in the past we've done it, and it's usually we do several events. We'll play like our main sport, but we also had like just who can get the high score in like Donkey Kong or something. Just fun games like that. So it's really a good time just to compete with St. Ambrose.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I was talking to Peyton, and it's like, it'd be kind of neat to come over and try and do something, with the podcast during that time as well. And I was like, I need to dust whoever the Madden players are. I need to dust some skills off maybe against them and see if I can hop in for a game or two somewhere. They're on the side. I know, just to be mindful of your time, you need to take off here shortly. Bill, thanks again so much for your time, today and connecting with me here. And, again, it's been kind of great learning more about, your three sport athlete journey and a lot more about Super Smash Bros. I know my boy is going to be excited to watch it. And obviously you're heading up here shortly as the Vikings take on the Raiders of Milwaukee School of Engineering. Yep. So tonight I'd say first serve is at 7. So certainly if anybody can watch that, that'd be great. But again, thanks for jumping on. It's been awesome having you on, and we'll definitely connect here again soon.
Yep. Thank you.